Greetings, salutations, and welcome to the Plains Talkers Podcast, the show by casuals for casuals. I'm your host, Will Benson, joined as always by my not exactly a behemoth, but certainly worthy of a lair co-host, Aramis Perez. Aramis, how are you tonight, sir?
I have just one word.
Cube was good. You know what? Let's just get right into it. All right, welcome to our Untap, Upkeep, and Draw phase of the show. Real quick, before we get anything going, I want to remind everyone, as we do at the top of every show, that we are sponsored 100% by Kerwin's Game Store. We want to thank them very much. Kerwin's Game Store is New York State's premier source for collectible card games, tabletop games, miniatures, comic books, retro video games, and toys. And with their clean, open gaming areas available to everyone at no charge once they're open again. Kerwin's provides a fun and inviting atmosphere for new and experienced gamers alike. They have locations in both Catskill, New York and Poughkeepsie, New York on the second floor of the Galleria. Kerwin's Game Store is 100% the best place in gaming. And don't forget, guys, when they do reopen the web store, you can definitely get anything you need there with a 5% off any online order when you use the promo code PlainsTalkers at checkout. You guys are in our thoughts, man. We know you guys are closed down for this epidemic, but the local game stores are just getting hit. It's tragic. It breaks my heart every time, you know, especially now because you just want to go buy cards. But I also want to take a second to send a shout out to our patrons. These are our Planeswalker level patrons. It's Josh, George, Walter, Ian, and Zach. They actually get to participate in a few monthly drawings. We'll be doing that drawing probably this week. I'll get a hold of you guys of who's doing what. I think we're doing Walter's cast from last month Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So we did do Ian's deck Twitch a few weeks ago. That's up on the Twitch channel. You definitely should check that out. And Walter's gonna, and I and Aramis are gonna put our heads together to figure out how we're gonna technically do this. They're gonna do a draft probably Wednesday night. So, listen, you want to find out more about our patron program? You can find us right on the web. Go to patreon.com/plainstalkers. So, and with that, it is the untap portion of our show. So, I'm going to untap as soon as I can get this bottle opener from here. Tonight's beverage is another Great Lakes Brewing Company, Elliot Ness Amber Lager. So it's a, I actually had this the other night, I liked it. And it's only 6.1, Aramis, I'm not going to go off the rails tonight. So
I've heard that before.
Well, if I'm going off the rails tonight, it's not because of the beer, it's just because I think we're all going crazy in quarantine.
Going? That's a short trip for me, my friend. I've been there and back.
Oh, that is so good.
Mm. Oh, no.
27 IBU, so I mean it's got a hoppy bite to it, but not really bad. So
that's all Greek to me, my friend.
Yeah, I knew you didn't know what I was saying. So,
rusty pipes.
Now, not surprising, guys. Here's what we're covering tonight. We're going to be doing some Ikoria spoilers. We're going to talk about the mechanics first of all. The new mechanics are in the game. Then we're going to break down some of the cards, mainly mythics and rares, if maybe one or two uncommons that have been released so far. They're constantly coming out every day. No combat tonight. We might just skip that because we're going over Ikoria stuff. In our second main phase, we're definitely talking about the cube that went on this weekend in Arena. It was obvious to me that this was definitely a proof of concept type of thing. They wanted to see if it would work, and I think it did. So, yes. And then if there's time, we'll talk a little bit about the Challenger decks. Those were released. They're hit and miss because the game stores are closed. And even Walmart, like one of my Walmarts, didn't have them. I was in another Walmart tonight and finally saw them out in the wild. So then we are going to talk about our box giveaway and what you got to do to get in on that. We're going to, you know, go through that. And then we will do our podcast review, iTunes review drawing. Finally, an email. And then that'll be the show. So we've got a packed show. So, but Aramis, how are things, man? How's quarantine? How's Pam? How's life? How's the kids? How's, you know, everything, man? How you been?
Day 57 of the quarantine. They still don't notice that I'm here. I try every day to make sure that they see me, but nothing ever happened. Oh, actually, nope, sorry. That was the wrong podcast. Sorry.
Wow. Okay.
we're good. We're hanging in there. My son's school is now closed through the end of April.
Everybody's is.
Yep. Well, in New York, anyway.
You know, yeah.
At the very least. April 29th is the... Or probably May 1st would be the earliest he could possibly go back. He's not going to go back.
Nobody's going back.
I don't think
so. Listen, I'm telling you right now, folks. unofficially, this will go to the end of the year.
That's what I'm thinking, too. That's what I'm thinking, too. I mean, I was talking to my...
exams today.
They did. I was talking to my my supervisor, who was talking to one of her, the superintendents in her local school district, and they said that they're cautiously optimistic that they might be able to get them back into classes sometime towards the end of May. But I'm like, eh, I don't see it.
Why? At that point, it is more disruptive to pull them out. By that point, they'll have been doing online learning for 2 months. Yeah. Like, it is more disruptive at that point, in my opinion, and I'm just a guy. I'm not anybody special. It's just, no.
Yeah, but either way, you know, he's been doing good. We've been doing, you know, hanging in there. I was just talking to Walter before we went live that, you know, it's impossible still to find toilet paper and paper towels. You have to show up at, like, literally the butt crack of dawn, no pun intended, to get to that stuff. And even then, you can't do it because it's for senior citizens for the first hour, and if they get a chance to buy it, good for them.
I stopped dyeing the beard, man. I can get in. I'm good. I'm good. I just let the beard grow out. I'll walk in a little slow. I'll even park in a handy capable spot. I don't care. Whatever I got to do. If I got to wipe my butt, you better believe I'm going to go in when they're giving it to the seniors. And I'll knock a few of them over, too.
Remember to aim for the hip. They shatter easily.
Oh, yeah. Always the hip. The hip or one of the knees. Actually, oof. I found that that's just the best way to go. Listen, the ones with the canes are the best because you wait until they put a little weight on that thing and be like, oops, sorry.
You know. Oh, we're terrible people.
Oh, I'm not. Wow, we lost 7 listeners in 7 seconds.
There you go. Other than that, you know, we'll talk about it later, but I was playing a lot of the Cube. I probably fired off like 10 or 11 of these things. It was great.
That is, if they want to get us to spend, and we'll talk about that in the second main, but if they want to get us to spend gold, that's how you do it.
Take my money.
Yeah, seriously. So, you know, for me, thanks for asking. Things are going pretty well here. We're doing all right. You know, we didn't have the kids this weekend, which was nice, but still didn't get a lot done. Oh crap, dude. Our podcast is saying episode 54. I forgot to change the title.
That's fine.
That's all right. I'll change it later. So this is episode 55, ladies and gentlemen. But in that, I'm going to take this whole thing again. So we were doing okay. I mean, we haven't had the kids all weekend, which is nice. I mean, we got some things done. We got the swing out, you know, side, so we can kind of sit out. And then it proceeded to rain. But, I mean, I went out there today for a little bit. Like, while I'm working from home, Wendy was doing lessons. And I just took my little table and my laptop, bottle of water and my mouse, and I just sat outside. I'm like, I can do this.
It was a nice day today.
You know, I'm used to working from home. Even, it's been... Well, I think about 8 years since I did it, but it all comes back to you, man, and it's working for me. And I mean, yeah, I miss being on center. I miss seeing my staff. I miss seeing my students. If any of you are watching, man, I do. I miss you guys like terrible. Like, we did a Zoom call today, and so I showed up dressed with my tuxedo T-shirt and my hat backwards, and then my Batman mask on because, again, you should wear a mask if you're doing anything in public. So, yeah. They didn't laugh. In fact, I got the Ferguson stink eye. It was kind of great. So she was just like,
We wore a mask over the weekend when we went grocery shopping, and after about 10 minutes, I wanted to claw my face off. It was so annoying. Plenty of kudos to all the medical workers that have to deal with wearing that stuff day in and day out and not being able to replace them.
Right.
It was uncomfortable as hell, and oh my God, it was terrible.
We still have a set from when Wendy was sick like a year ago. We got a box because we had a family member who worked in the hospital, and they brought us a box of the surgical masks. Mm-hmm. So we've been using them very sparingly, and you know, when they said don't wear a mask, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to wear a mask. Now that they're telling us to do it, I'm wearing masks. You know, if I go to the store, I'll put a mask on. If I'm going to get gas, I'm really the only one who leaves. I'm very, very still very cautious with Wendy. I'm like, you know, she went out this weekend to go, you know, she goes at least once every couple of days to the studio to shower. But usually I'll take her. This weekend I let her drive herself, and, you know, it was a little rough. You know, she's very nervous, and so am I. I'm very excited. We're going to get our hot water tank put in this week. So we'll have hot water upstairs with the showers again. So that's a plus. I'm a big fan of that. So looking forward to many, many showers and baths. And yeah, So
let's talk about cards.
Yeah, being a little less stinky. No, you know what? They want to hear about us, man. That's all they want to hear about. No, I'm kidding. So with that, though, we have, like I said, packed show tonight. Ikoria spoilers. Let's get into it, in fact.
Main phase.
By the way, I was going to work it into where, you know, I was going from, like, the shower thing into being a behemoth, you know, because I'm a bigger guy. And Beckdude the Bamas don't have to shower. Hey, let's talk about cards. But you ruined it. You took it away from me.
It was you know what? It was as the control player, I had to cast a counterspell.
You know, it's annoying. We find it annoying, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to beat you again at your own game. So, I mean, is there a lot of stuff for control players? Well, we should talk about the mechanics first before we get into cards. So,
yeah.
Ikoria spoilers. Okay, it is full-blown preview season now. Welcome to previews. So last week, of course, they had the big, you know, magic, what do you want to call it? Like the debut cast or what was it?
It was like the debut. They debuted the trailer. They debuted the set and the mechanics. By the way, the lead up to that, I thought that was awesome. It was just so cool how they were kept like changing channels and had like stuff in the background. You see like monsters and stuff, and then they're trying to sell you crystals during an infomercial, and then they switched to something else. And then
that was cool.
I loved it.
I mean, they had the preview cast, I guess we'll call it. And now, here's the thing that got that. You know what? This is how far we've come and where we are as a culture right now. I'm watching this thing, okay, and they're doing it, and you've got the dude from Command Cast, you know, from Game Nights,
Josh Lee Kwai.
Josh, right? You got Josh doing it, and then I tune in because I had a small meeting, so I got in there a little late. I saw like the preview stuff, walked away, came back, and I see Josh standing there next to a guy. Face right in his face, and they're talking at each other. And I'm just like, oh my God, social distance much?
Well, that was probably all produced before this all went I know, to hell but anyway. It, so.
And I get that, but if I was Wizards, I probably would have had a crawl on the bottom. Like, we recorded this in February.
Funny you should mention that, because there is actually some fallout of the coronavirus that's impacting this set, not just with the release date.
Oh.
One of the Godzilla cards, see if I can find it here, the Space Godzilla, one of the Space Godzilla cards, the original name of the card was Space Godzilla Death Corona. So they had to change the name to Space... So that... The printing was already done, so there will be these cards in the wild.
Yes!
So you can get your hands on a Godzilla Space Corona. Yeah, so it's Space Godzilla Death Corona.
Listeners, you want to get us a present? Forget the Patreon. Send me that card.
So what they did is, starting with the second print run and in every version online, instead of it saying Space Godzilla Death Corona, it's now Space Godzilla Void Invader.
Yeah.
Now, the reason that they use Death Corona was because Space Godzilla's breath weapon is called, like, the Corona Beam or something like that. And obviously, you know, it makes sense. And whoops. So, I think, you know, some people will be like, oh, that's too PC, that's too sensitive. You know what? Good on them for being proactive. And just being like, look, we didn't, you know, this wasn't a thing when we made this card. It is now. Let's just change it. There are some that are out there, but it's too much of a logistical hazard or hassle to recall everything that's already been shipped, reprint it all, and then reship it out. And luckily, it's only an uncommon, so it shouldn't be too hard to get a hold of.
And there we go. Steven, it's in black and white right there. He's going to send me a playset when he gets his.
Yeah, I'm really looking.
I just want one.
It'll be a collector's item for sure, and I'm hoping to get a hold of one.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really exciting time. You know, but it struck me watching it, and I just remember sitting there going, and every segment was the same thing. They're like literally like, if you and I were to, you know, here, move to your left, you know, it'd be like, hello, Aramis. How are you today?
Yeah, hi, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You're breathing on me. Stop it. Oh, God.
I mean, it was literally like that. I'm sitting there going, I'm like, you know, like, wow, you know, Kelly and Ryan are in like separate houses. Howard Stern is like doing it in his library. I'm like, and you guys are like, what's up? I'm like, wow. And again, sure, it was recorded in February. I probably would have put something at the bottom saying it's recorded in February. So,
yeah, but I think anybody would reasonably expect that to not be live, given the production.
Yeah, because that, but it's still, it was, it,
yeah,
it was like a glass of cold water to the face because we're so used to it now, you know, like this social
distancing. It goes to show how much has changed in the last, 5 weeks.
Yeah. Like, again, like, listen, social distancing, people that don't social distance, I got to be honest with you. Drunk drivers are out there going like, man, maybe I'm finally going to get a break because the way people report these assholes, like they're like, let's put them on Facebook. You see a group, you put it on Facebook. We will shame these people. I'm like, holy cow. It's like Hitler's going, oh, I'm about to get a reprieve here. All right, this is good. I mean, it's like, it's horrible. Like we're just like looking for ways to call people jerks and names. And it's like, look, you can't. You got to social distance. It's obvious. But I'm not going to be one of these cats that's out there taking pictures of people if they're, you know, standing around in a circle at the bottom of their driveway. I'm like, well, you're an idiot. But there is something to be said for Darwinism. And
well, I mean, if they're standing in a circle at the end of their driveway, it all depends on what they're doing. If they're drawing a circle in salt and they're chanting for their Lord, Dark Lord and Master to be summoned from the netherworld, you might want to intervene.
Oh, and you need to go to the store. Your wife needs paper towels.
I went. I found one roll. I am a hero.
You're a hero.
They should build a statue for me in front of the Capitol in Albany because I found a roll of paper towels today.
Would it be built out of paper towels?
You know, actually out of the cores.
It would have to be Bounty, though, because they're the only things that could take the water.
Yeah, Bounty or Brawny.
Brawny, yeah. There's that. Yeah, whichever one had, like, the gay lumberjack on the front.
That was Brawny.
Yeah, it was Brawny, yeah.
Yeah, that was Brawny, yeah.
Yeah, the bear,
hey, look,
the bear
rails,
lumberjack,
I just jumped off.
As my friends would call him. He's like, oh, he's a bear. I'm like, what? They're like, he's a bear. He likes the fellas. Yeah. And I'm like, where do you come up with this?
Yeah, because as a magic player, you're thinking he's a 2-2 for 2? What does that even mean?
No, but, you know, so they're going through this stuff. Oh, here we go. I'm more annoyed with the hundreds of... Yes, Steve, you are not wrong, dude. I'm more annoyed with the hundreds of gloves just tossed on the floors everywhere. Yeah, because somebody has to pick that infected piece of... It, well, it's not the worst piece of rubber you could throw on the floor, but I mean, it's up there.
Let's talk about cards. Please.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah.
Hey, look,
a night where
rails.
We have tons of content, I was still going off the rails with talking about, you know, dropping pieces of rubber on the floor. So...
Oh, wait, you're talking about these? Hold on. You're talking about these right here, rails?
Rails, yes. We're going off. You know what?
We don't need these.
That's a sound effect we need. I have to find a sound effect of a train derailing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I need to find that. That needs to
that
be.
That might as well be our theme song at this point. Anyway.
We're beating the dead horse. Okay, moving on. So during this event, they did reveal the mechanics in the set. So,
yes.
You know, obviously, we'll start with the one that they started with because it's the most like, I mean, it's good. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have it back, but So I got to figure, by the way. All right, so they're bringing cycling back.
Yes.
So does this make you think Cycle Lands might be coming in again?
That seems to be one of the rumors, is that they might do the enemy-colored Cycle Dual Lands, which... Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
I mean, but that's exactly... Yeah, we need that. Like, is it an enemy color green-blue?
Yeah, green-blue is enemy color,
yeah,
white-black,
yeah, because they
red,
need
blue.
More mana help. That deck... Those decks absolutely require... Bant Ramp's not a thing. You know, no, absolutely. Bring in blue-green and black-red and...
Yeah, the most recent list of that that I saw literally played basically all the best cards in Standard. It was playing Nissa, Uro, Teferi, Dream Trawler... It was great.
And then you look at some of these spoilers, and you're like, "Dod gamut!" It's like,
oh, some of these cards are good.
Some of it's just an embarrassment of riches, though. For one color, it's almost like they're like, "No, nah, we're never
white
letting
got some
red
toys.
Becoming a thing again."
White got some real toys.
White got some toys in the last set. White life gain's still a thing. So
I'm not even talking life gain.
Look at this. In front of my house, I found like 5 pairs this week of rubber gloves, I hope, and not the other thing, because damn.
Rails, sir.
Appropriateness. Wait, we're not getting the explicit this week. We're not getting it. So, Cycling is coming back.
Yes, which is great. That's always good to have.
It is, really. It's worthwhile. The next thing that we'll kind of talk about, we're going to save the best for last, obviously. Companion. I think this has the most possibility to whiff.
I don't know. I mean,
I think constructed, or I think in limited, it could really do something for you. I think in limited, in constructed, though,
it'll be hard. It'll be harder to do in limited, I believe. I mean, there's certain ones. It depends on which one. Like, the one they banned in Commander. Oh, yeah. Do you not know that? The set hasn't been released yet. There's already been a card banned from the set.
In Commander.
So I'll go ahead and we might as well start talking about cards, because this has a new companion mechanic. This card is called Lutri the Spell Chaser. It is a legendary creature, Elemental Otter, which is freaking awesome. The art is amazing. It is a 3/2 for 1 and 2 hybrid red-blue. So for 1 and 2 is it mana.
Right.
And it has companion. Its companion ability is each non-land card in your starting deck has a different name. So what that means is, if this card is your chosen companion, you can cast it once from outside the game. So if you were playing it like in a constructed tournament setting, it would be in your sideboard. If you were playing a limited setting, it'd be whatever card you're not using in your main deck. If you're playing casual, it's just out there. And it's not exile. It's a special zone, like the command zone. So you can cast it from there once. Once you cast it, it's a regular card. It can go to your graveyard. It can go to exile.
Right.
Back to
it doesn't go back to like the companion zone. There's no.
It doesn't
companion
go back to its special
zone.
Really. Yeah. So it's a 3/2. It has flash. And when it enters the battlefield, if you cast it, copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. Now, on its face, not looking at the companion ability, it's good. It's not crazy, in my opinion. But the problem that they saw with the card, that it was so problematic in their opinion that they banned this card before it was even released. It's banned in Commander. It's banned in Brawl. Is because if you're playing blue-red, this is going into every single deck.
Oh, yeah.
Every single... It's free, because it doesn't count as one of your 99. So there is literally zero cost to playing this card. It's not your commander. Your commander can be somebody else entirely. And you can just be like, I have a free extra card that only I have access to, and the other color combinations do not have access to. So, you know, all the blue-red commander decks automatically are playing with 101, where everybody else is only playing 100.
That's
so
true.
Like, we're not going to have that. That's just, it's too crazy. It's too risky. We're not even going to go there. Get rid of it.
Right.
Because they figured if it wasn't banned now, it was going to be banned at some point eventually. So they just said, you know what, let's just do it now and save ourselves the trouble so people don't have to worry about spending the money to get this card, because it will be valuable, because it would be in every single Is
It
deck.
It would be in every single three-color commander with blue or red. It would be in every single, it would be busted.
Every Jeskai deck. Every
five color, Grixis, four color, doesn't matter.
Every
if you're
five
playing
color,
blue,
every
red,
deck.
Honestly, you might make a five color deck at that point because it's worth it. You know, you could do the Niv-Mizzet five color deck, or, you know, any number of other ones, and it's worthwhile.
Yeah, every teamer, every Grixis, every Jeskai deck, every Is It deck would be playing this card.
So,
and that shouldn't ever really be a thing in Commander. Like, even Sol Ring isn't played in every deck.
Right.
So, yeah. So it's, I can understand why they did it. I'm kind of sad, only because, like I said, the art is really cool. It's an otter, so it's kind of cute. But, oh well.
So, with that, though, I mean, so that's Companion. Companion's kind of like Diet Commander would be the best way I'd put it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Diet Commander. They each have different deck-building restrictions. If you choose not to do it, I guess that means you can have it in your deck like a regular card.
Right, you can, yes.
So, but they also give you basically like a perk if you... if you're able to cast them for, you know, as the companion.
Right. Well, hold on. He said Loris, so let me see if I can find that. Okay.
I have that one pulled up already.
Well, what I'm trying to do is, so, all right, it's on the stream here.
Yep. So Loris is a legendary creature, Cat Nightmare, for 1/2 Orzhov mana. It's a 3/2. And the companion is each permanent card in your starting deck has converted mana cost 2 or less.
Huh.
So your instants and sorceries can be whatever. It has lifelink. During each of your turns, you may cast one permanent spell with converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard.
That's huge.
Yeah, so it's recursion every turn.
Oh, by the way, I feel like that we need to say this. Folks, what we're doing is, if you're looking at the online right now, we are using mtgnexus.com for our card previews. So, you know, I do want to give them a shout-out because we're doing it completely without their permission. All right, go on. I'm sorry.
If that's all it does. But, yeah, it's recursion for all your little guys. It's a good card on its face. 3/2 lifelink for 3 is already a really good card.
Yeah, totally. So...
So yeah, I mean that card should see some play. I mean, a lot of the companion cards are pretty good. They're all hybrid legendary. Well, they're not all legendary, I don't think. Yeah, they're not all legendary, but they're all hybrid manned creatures.
I don't think any of them are not legendary. Companions are all legendary.
Nope, you're not. Yeah, these are all legendary. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The one that I'm looking at was a translation. That's why it wasn't
right.
The frame was wrong. But yeah, they're all legendary. They're all hybrid mana. So, I think there's 10 of them altogether. So we've seen
5,
6, 7.
We've seen 7.
We've seen 7 or 6. I'm sorry. Yeah, 6. There's one. We saw one for. There's one for blue, black, blue, green, white, black.
I've seen Garuda, Karuga, Loras, yep. Lutri, Umori. That's it.
And Obosh.
Obosh?
Obosh the Prey Piercer.
Okay.
It is a 3/5 for 3 and 2 Rakdos mana. The companion is your starting deck contains only cards with odd converted mana costs.
Ah.
Whenever a source you control with an odd converted mana cost deals damage, it deals double that damage instead.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's just in a weird spot.
Yeah, the frame is off.
Yeah, like Proud Wild Bonder doesn't need to be in there.
It's a hybrid card. So that's the way they're ordering the cards is if you're looking at it through a binder, it's by the collector number, and that's
right.
That's where it would show up on that particular part of it.
Wow. So, yeah. So that's that. And then, you know, to bring it back around... The other mechanic that they're really, and this is the one like that we're going to be talking about for a while. Do I think it's going to break anything? No, but it does have the most potential to be, impactful in constructed, in limited, in all of it is mutate. Mutate's just bust.
Mutate's good.
It's not busted, but it's definitely power creep to the nth degree. So
there's a fun interaction with mutate that I'll tell you about when you go ahead and read a couple of cards.
Well, yeah, like so mutate. What that is, guys, is that it's kind of like if you've played any of the unsanctioned or the unsets, they have these cards that you kind of can put with another card and then they become like a different creature. Well, they're bringing that to standard.
Sort of. It's a different take on it.
It's a different take on it, and it's definitely it matters which one's on top. Which, you know, the one on top is, because I was really curious about how you can, you know, with this. Well, what it does is this. If you have a card with mutate in your hand, you can cast it for its mutate cost and attach it to any creature card on the board.
Non-human.
Any non-human creature card on the board, right. All right, so you can put it on that, and then all of a sudden the mutate effect takes hold. And then all of a sudden that non-human has, usually with mutate there's going to be... words and, you know, trigger words, counters. Yeah, that's another thing we should talk about is the
ability counters.
Ability counters, yeah. So,
yes.
I mean, but, you know, case in point here, let me put this on the screen, is like, you know, I found one is a Vadrox, Apex of Thunder. So it's one, a blue or white colorless, 2 red for mutating. Flying first strike, and when it mutates, you can cast target non-creature card with great... Converted mana 3 or less from your graveyard without paying its mana cost. And
that's really good.
And this 3/3 goes on another creature, and it combines it, right? It becomes a 6. If it was on a 3/3, it becomes a 6/6.
No.
Oh, okay.
So the way that it works is, say you had a Llanowar Elf.
Right.
For you know, poops and giggles. And you wanted to, you know, mutate a card onto it. You could mutate the Trumpeting Gnar, which is a 3/3 for 1 green and a blue. Has mutate cost of 3 and 2 Simic mana. And it says, whenever this creature mutates, create a 3/3 green beast creature token. So what you could do is you could either put the Trumpeting Gnar on the bottom, and it gains all the abilities of the cards that are on top or below it. Whatever card is on top, those are the name and the color and the characteristics that you use.
Right, including CMC. So
including CMC. So if you mutate the Trumpeting Gnar and put it on the bottom, Llanowar Elves is still a 1/1 green creature for 1 green mana. It still taps for a green, but it also has the ability of whenever it mutates, create a 3/3 green beast creature token, and you would get that trigger because you mutated the Gnar onto it. Now, if you do the reverse and you put the Trumpeting Gnar on top, it is a Trumpeting Gnar. It's a 3/3 for 3.
That can it taps for a green.
If you taps for a green mana, and it mutates to create a 3/3 green beast creature token. So you can. Sometimes it's more advantageous to have the bigger creature on top, or the right color on top, or the you know bigger creature on the bottom. The thing is that if you destroy the creature, it kills them all.
Right.
So if somebody murders your Llanowar Elf Trumpeting Gnar mutation, they both die. Fun interaction, though. If you have a blink effect, something like, I don't know, Thassa? The whole thing gets exiled. They all come back individually.
Yes. And you, so can, if you have, can you remutate?
You cannot remutate, but if you have five creatures mutated onto one and you blink it, you've got five creatures.
Right.
And so if it's, you, an, it's a sort of a weird little trick to sort of protect.
If
and
you
make
unsummon
an
it, it all goes to your hand.
They all go back to your hand. Now, there was an article that Mark Rosewater wrote today that sort of caused some confusion, because I guess when they were originally playtesting the mechanic, only the top card was affected by those cards.
Oh.
So if you had a bunch of stuff mutated onto, say, Nethroi Apex of Death, and that was on the bottom,
right,
that would still be there at the end. If there were like three or four creatures on top of it, only the top creature would die, so you would have to kill it like four times to actually kill it. So luckily they changed it, so now it kills the whole...
Nethroi is busted.
Nethroi is stupid.
Like, it's on the screen now. Like, I'll put it up on the screen here.
So Nethroi is a 5/5 legendary creature, cat, nightmare, beast. For two, a white, a black, and a green. Its mutate cost is 4, a Selesnya hybrid, and 2 black, so 7 mana altogether. It has Death Touch and Lifelink. And whenever this creature mutates, return any number of target creature cards with total power 10 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Yikes.
Yeah, that's...
Yikes.
That's
good. That's got some potential. I'm not even sure it's the best one.
Well, I think because of the black-white mechanic, like the colors on that, I mean... Well, green and black, or
it's
black
Abzan,
and white.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like... Well, what do you think's the best one? Which one are you... What are you thinking about?
As far as the Apex ones, I would say it's either... I was thinking maybe Snapdax, but I'm going to have to go with Illuna, Apex of Wishes.
I was kind of wondering if that was your style.
Only because it gives you free stuff. I mean, Nethroi gives you free stuff too, but this gives you free stuff from your deck. So it's a 6/6 for 2, a green, a blue, and a red. So it's teamer. Its mutate cost is 3, a Gruul, so red-green hybrid, and 2 blue. Has flying and trample. Whenever this creature mutates, exile cards from the top of your library until you exile a non-land permanent card. Put that card onto the battlefield or into your hand. It's Chaos Warp, basically.
Basically.
It's, oh my god, it's so good. And it's cheap. It's only 5 mana. And you can mutate it onto other stuff.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's really, really, really good. I mean, what's caught your eye so far that from what you've seen? I know you said there were a lot of spoilers that you haven't seen.
I really haven't spent much time in spoilers, to tell you the truth, this weekend. I mean, it's nice to see Vivian back. It's nice to see Vivian... It's nice to see a Planeswalker with a static.
I was actually surprised that they went that route again. Yeah. I thought they were kind of done with that for now. But, I mean, she's pretty good.
I got to wonder if from the lore, if it's like she just left Gravnica. It's almost the same static she had. You know,
sort of, yeah, sort of. I think, and I think this takes place like shortly after the events of War of the Spark.
Right.
I think this might be the first plane that she pops up in afterwards.
Right, and it says you may look at. So anyway, she's 2 green, 3 colorless. So she's her usual, you know, pretty hefty, but not terribly. It's a mythic rare, but she only has 2. Now, is this by any chance the Planeswalker deck, Vivian?
No, this is actual okay. Vivian, because she has... Well, think about it this way. She has 2 different static abilities.
Right.
So you count, like, you know, they used to have, like, up to 4 loyalty abilities.
Right.
There's still 4 abilities on the card. It's just 2 of them are statics, 2 of them are activations.
Right. So, I mean, you know, the two static is you may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast creature spells from the top card of your library. Okay, well, we have this in red and black already, so having it in green, absolutely. Her plus one ability is create a 3/3 green beast creature token. Put your choice of a vigilance counter, reach counter, or a trample counter on it. That's beautiful. And then minus two is when you cast your next creature spell this turn, search your library for a creature card with lesser converted mana cost, put it onto the battlefield, and shuffle your library.
Silly.
It's now, let me ask you this. Would mutate be a creature spell?
Mutate is a creature spell.
So, okay, so if I cast my creature spell, okay,
mm-hmm.
and I mutate it, and I put it on, you know, a, let's say Galta's out there, just even though he's not legal, like, you know, a 12, you know, or whatever, highest mana casting cost we can think of that's going out there right now.
That's 12, yes.
All right, so, and I mutate under it. When you cast your next creature spell this turn, search your library for a creature card with lesser converted mana cost, does that mean the 12?
If Galta is on top, yes.
Okay, you know what? We missed the boat on Oko. I'm going to lay this out there right now. This card.
But I think you're getting the interaction wrong because you can't... If the way you're talking about a Galta is already on the battlefield,
right.
With her minus two, you have to be casting Galta. So you can't mutate onto him.
Well, I was saying I was doing a mutate from my hand and attaching it to Galta. So the cat
it wouldn't work that way,
though. Then how...
No, because it looks at the spell you're casting.
Okay.
You're not casting Galta, you're casting the mutate. So you'd want to cast a mutate that was pretty expensive.
All right. Because I was like...
And it's not looking at the mutate cost, it's looking at the converted mana cost that you would
normally...
All right,
now it's not as busted. I was like, that
It's still
that
pretty crazy, because
like,
if you...
That seems like it would be just replete with horribleness for anyone who doesn't play green.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. How many... Like, even if you cast a 5-drop, you're searching up Questing Beast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or and then that's the thing too. Mutate on Questing Beast.
Oh.
As if that card needed any more abilities. It already has 15.
Literally, we made the joke, but it's literally going to say at the bottom, see other card.
And then the card into that, and the card into that. Oh, I don't have lifelink yet. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Let's add trample onto that. Oh, let's add double strike because why not?
Wow, this is. Yeah, I mean, red's not, at least that we're seeing right now. I mean, there's a red phoenix for mutate.
Yes.
Which doesn't look horrible. It's not like the phoenixes we've been seeing.
It's not bad, though. It's a 4/4 flying for 4.
Right.
That's good. I mean, even if you don't look at the mutate part of it,
mm-hmm.
a 4/4 flying for 4 in red is not bad.
No.
It's a solid card. Nice top end curve.
What about you? What are you seeing?
Well, I know the card that I talked to you about before we went on the air, there is a card that is going to go into every Simic Flash deck, and it's going to be a 4-of.
Okay, what is it?
It is an uncommon. It is called Cunning Night Bonder.
All right, hold on. I got to go up top here and put uncommon in here.
So while you're doing that, it is a 2/2 for 2 blue-black hybrid mana. It has Flash, Human Rogue. Spells with Flash you cast cost one less to cast and can't be countered.
Oh, forget this. Oh, yeah. Shit.
Yeah, so, you know, your those little merfolk guys, they cost one. You know, your Nightpack Ambusher, he costs 3, and they can't be countered.
That's actually huge.
That's really good.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So... And it's only an uncommon. It's very pushed uncommon. I like it a lot.
Yeah, you might be right about that. That might actually be a deck or a card. And it might make Simic Flash useful again.
Yeah, because it's. I mean, it's double blue because, you know, you're never going to be able to cast the black part of it. But then there's other cards floating around. They've already broken one of them.
Yeah.
It is a mythic from the white color, so white's getting some love.
Of course it is.
I think right now it's the most expensive or valuable card for pre-order.
Luminous?
I think it's like the Luminous Broodmoth. I think it's like $40 or $50 right now. It is a 3/4 insect for 2 and 2 white, has flying. Whenever a creature you control without flying dies, return it to the battlefield under its owner's control with a flying counter on it.
Oh, good. Azorius Flyers comes back out of the mothballs.
Well, the way that they broke it is more of a historic or pioneer. Right. It's a pioneer thing.
Right.
So you combine this card with Solemnity,
ooh,
which says counters can't be put on creatures or they can't enter with counters. It basically shuts off counters.
Right.
Like physical counters, not counter spells. You combine that with either one of the Titans from Theros Beyond Death. If you want to kill your opponent, you use Kroxa. If you want to draw your deck, you use Uro. What'll happen is, if the Luminous Broodmoth and the Solemnity are already in play, you cast the Titan from your hand, it gets triggers and it sacrifices because it wasn't escaped. Because it died, it's triggering the Luminous Broodmoth, which brings it back into play. The Broodmoth tries to put a flying counter on it, but it can't because of Solemnity, so the trigger for the enter the battlefield happens again, and the sacrifice trigger happens again because it wasn't escaped, and there's your infinite loop. You can either deal three, make your opponent lose 3 life and discard their, you know, infinite cards, or you gain infinite life and draw your deck.
Wow.
So, you have to have a way to shut it off if you're drawing your deck, otherwise you just flat kill yourself. But, yeah. Infinite combo.
Well, Steven brought up here inside the chat, Riel, he said the Everwise, has a crazy commander potential also. She's a one red or one colorless, one blue, one red, and it gets 1/0 for each instant or sorcery in your graveyard. And whenever you discard one or more cards for the first time each turn, draw that many cards. This might see some play in standard too with the cycling mechanic back in play.
Yeah, cycling. Well, Astral Slide kind of got reprinted.
Yeah.
There's a new enchantment in blue that only costs 2 instead of 3. It's called Escape Protocol.
Hold on.
Whenever you exile a card, you may pay 1. When you do, exile target artifact or creature you control, then return it to the battlefield under its owner's control. So get ready to fire off all those ETB triggers.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, those are some of the biggest stuff we've got going. Is there anything else you want to do, or should we pivot? Or we're about 40
no,
minutes.
Wait, in. No. Okay, well, real quick then. They put Sharknado in the set.
They put Sharknado in the set. They did not.
Sharknado. Yes. Shark Typhoon.
I knew you were going to go here.
I have to go here because this is I've never seen the movies, but the absurdity of it is just great. I love it. It's an enchantment for 5 and a blue, so it's 6 mana. Whenever you cast a non-creature spell, create an XX blue shark creature token with flying. Because obviously Sharknado, where X is that spell's converted mana cost. It has cycling of X, 1, and a blue. When you cycle Shark Typhoon, create an XX shark, blue shark creature token with flying, and the picture is literally a Sharknado. I mean, come on, you can't not love it.
Oh, I cannot love it, but yes, I know it, the flavor of it is really great. So. But so there's a lot more. Like, again, and I'm going to give them a shout out, mtgnexus.com, and maybe we should reach out to them before next week. Mtgnexus.com is where we're picking up our spoilers. I'm sure they'd love the clicks, guys, at a time like this, so feel free to take a look there. We're at the start of spoiler season. We got another week or two of this, so we'll have more next week for sure.
There's so many cards they've already spoiled, and this looks like just the power level of the set looks pretty high.
And that's just it. It's like I think it's a little too high. Meaning that given where standard's at right now, I am not sure how much of these cards are going to impact current standard constructed.
Oh, they will.
I think there'll be one or two. I think there'll be, but I, as far as a brand new, like, balls to the wall, bombad deck, I'm not sure. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think so. I think you still, the sacrifice mechanic in the blue and the black and the red, mono red's mono red. It's always going to be there. But the biggest stuff right now in ramp, and I mean, yeah, this will help Bant ramp. This will help, Sultai mid ramp. But this will not, I don't see, unless somebody just wants to go out and build a Godzilla deck for fun, which has its merit,
They'll definitely be, new archetypes. I don't know about archetypes,
that's
but
there
will definitely be
There'll be improvements several, to be, decks that are there.
There'll be new decks, for sure. There will be new decks, new flavors of decks,
I
for
think
sure.
We'll see Civic Flash come back out. I think that the cards you're talking about there, if you can make it so that... Because the problem with Civic Flash has lately has been there's so much... destruction anyway. I'm not, maybe not, because there's still so much enchantment hate and so much destruction of enchantments and things like that, that, you know, Simic Flash may, but that would be a card I could see coming back out of the mothballs, but, you know, who knows? So
there's a lot of good stuff here. I would love to be right.
I hope you are. I'm just now post rotation. Hell yeah. This will go to town. Like, you know, this and Theros, I think though, trying to get past the guilds right now, things of that nature, there's just too much, you know, now we're sitting at what, 7 or 8 sets in standard right now.
There's one more set to come out after this before rotation. And that's core right. set.
So we have like what, the 3, so 4. So this is 7. We have 7 sets in standard.
There's 7, yeah. 7 out of the 8. Yeah, it's standard is almost fully matured, but they also like to push things towards the end of the block. I mean, look at what happened with core 20.
Let's not even discuss that.
So, you know, I think that's why I'm thinking that there's going to be some decks that come out of this, and this set's pushed. And I would rather, like, I know I mentioned this before, I would rather they push the power level and go a little too far than hold back and hold back a little too much.
I don't disagree.
You know what I mean? The fact that they already have a card banned, it's like, oh, God, here we go.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I was a little like, oh, Jesus, really? Come on, guys.
Here we go.
You have one job. But
although I guess, to be fair, I think they even reached out to the commander committee and said, guys, you might want to take a look at this card because it might be a little strong.
Right.
So they even knew printing this card that it was probably going to be an issue, but they did it anyway because outside of Commander, it might still see some play.
Right.
It's not a bad card.
All right. So with that, let's go ahead and get into combat.
Combat phase.
And then, yeah, we played a fog and... nope, not that. There it is.
Main phase.
Yeah, nothing happened in combat. So, all right, main two. So we're going to pivot a little bit off Ikoria because this was a weekend. Like, we had Arena. You know, main two is where we usually talk about Arena. Arena was all right this weekend. I got nothing bad to say about Arena this weekend. They fired off their first ever cube. And it wasn't a draft cube, which is what we'd really like to see. But it was a sealed cube. So,
yes.
You know, yeah, and I played it. It was a good lot of fun. I had a good time. You and I were texting a little bit, red black was just busted out loud, like.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of that. A lot of people have been having a lot of success with red and black
for that cube. It was pretty.
Yeah.
You know, I played a few other types of deck archetypes. I did a blue white flyer that I had some fun with. The highest I ever got was 5. You know, I didn't make it to 7, and it was almost like the minute you got to 5.
Five is as high as you can go.
Oh, wait, so I had 4. I got down to the 1. Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was a 7, so I got 1 away, and I mean, literally, I went 4-0. And I'm like, all right, motherfucker, yeah. No. Mana screw. That is the only thing I probably would have liked to have seen, is that maybe a little... The only change I'd make is a 2 or 3. I really wish they'd give you that option to play like your cube deck best 2 out of 3.
Yeah, you know what? I wasn't thinking about that, but yes, that would be. I'm hoping that if they implement the cube draft, pretty please, as soon as possible this year, if possible, please. If they do that, best 2 out of 3 would be ideal. I think given the price point. The best of one was fine.
Price point was amazing. It was a good price point, and the card rewards were not horrible. And
yeah, I guess the one, I don't even want to say if it was a disappointment, but I guess it would have been nice to have, other than the cards, come out ahead a little bit on gold or gems.
Yeah.
You know, because getting your money back is totally fine. I'm cool with that. You just keep, you know, re-upping and just running it back. But you have to go either for, depending on how you pay, either go to 4 or 5 wins to do that.
And I get, they're not idiots. And this is not an accident. When they decided to do this event, and they let you use gold, and it wasn't a terribly high amount of gold, they know what they're 3,000. Doing now. Because they're like, they're looking at the economy going, there are people out there with 60,000, 70,000 in gold. They just don't spend their gold. They get their card rewards. They may do a couple of drafts every once in a while. But for a lot of people, they don't spend a ton in gold. All right. New sets coming out. Ikoria's coming out. They don't make money off gold buying packs. You know, if you're buying packs in gold with gold, they make nothing. So by doing this cube draft and making you spend $2,000, you're going to play five times, three or four. I played five. You know, I spent $10,000 in gold.
Yeah, genius. I spent $30,000 gold.
Absolutely. Do that. I'm okay with that. Well,
and also what it does is it, in a way, also shines light onto historic because it's giving you historic cards as the prizes.
Right. Oh, but Josh seems to disagree with us here. Just hold on here. And he's a patron, so we respect your opinion, Josh, even though it's wrong. But he says he felt it was overpriced. I don't. And again, I get it. I understand. Like, I think the last time they tried to do some stupid, crazy stuff, oh, I think that was when they were trying to do the Brawl stuff, and they were trying to get us to pay, like, $5,000 to play Brawl. And it was, like, right before Theros was going to come out, and I think I lost my lid. Because I'm like, this is obviously what this is. You're trying to get us to spend our gold so that we don't have gold to buy Theros, so that we have to buy gems, so that we have to, you know, I understand why you did it. This time they got smarter. You offer a better product at a lower price point, we'll play it more. You know, I think I did one roll of the Brawl, and that was it. I was like, I spent $5,000. I donked out. I'm like, I'm done, you know?
And the appeal of cube, for someone like me especially, is like, you know, you roll into a Brawl or a Commander or whatever. If somebody has a lot more resources than you and they have their blinged out, you know, Atraxa. Competitive deck with, or Atraxa, case in point, and you're coming in there with your first deck you've ever built, you don't really know how the format works, and you don't have all the mythics and fetch lands and all that garbage. I'm glad that they have it set up this way because it's more of, everybody has access to the same pool of cards. It's more about what you open and what you're able to build off of that. And because it's a cube, you don't have to worry about getting screwed over with a bad pool because there's going to be something ridiculous in your deck.
Right. And that's just it. While Ralph just asked, he's like, I don't understand why it was a Phantom event. I'm okay with it being a Phantom event.
It was a Phantom event because those packs, the cards that you're winning and most of the cards that you're using aren't legal in Standard.
Right.
So they don't want to give you access, especially with what they were giving you, 5,000 gold for access to upwards of 20 mythics.
Yeah.
That would be a bad business on their part.
Cubes, Ralph, have they tend to be pretty powerful. There's going to be like in a cube, quote unquote cube pack, there's like, what is it? 3 mythics, 5 rares, 2 uncommons and a common. It's something like weird that.
Yeah, depending on how, like, if it's a draft, depending on the pack that you open, you may see a pack with 6 mythics. There might be no commons at all in the pack. It might be like 5 mythics, 4 rares, 5 uncommons, and like maybe a common. And but the common is like the best common in the set.
Right.
You know, it's Lightning Bolt or something
Fatal
stupid.
Push. Well, that's uncommon.
Yeah, and
yes.
if you're doing a cube draft on Magic Online when they do Vintage Cube, you're opening a pack that has Black Lotus, Jace the Mind Sculptor, Nicol Bolas, you know, and, you know, Tundra as the first 4 cards in the pack. You know, so, and those are Phantom. You can't, you know, you're not going to pay your 100 play points and be like, oh, Black Lotus, click, let me sell that right now. I just paid for my next 5,000 drafts.
And that's what it is. And so, again, I'm okay with that.
I'm totally fine with it.
I think it's fine if you want to go. And again, the 2,000 is not a horrible price point. You know.
It was 3, but yeah.
What's that?
It was 3,000.
Was it 3? Okay.
Yeah, it was 3,000,
which
still
isn't bad. Is not horrible. Again, I had no problem paying it this weekend. I didn't. I was like, because I was enjoying it, and I was playing something other than Standard. It is right before a new set comes out. It is natural that at this point, Standard gets kind of stale. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ranking up, and I've been trying to rank up, I've been having a hell of a time. I made it to plat 1, and I'm back to gold 4, because I cannot win. You know, because the meta's kind of changed, or I'm getting screw, or whatever. And I'm not bitching about it, but and again, I didn't play that much either. I didn't play that much ranked because I'm like, I want to play this. I am having more fun playing some of the historic stuff, and I'm doing historic ranked. And so, you know, the variance inside historic ranked is far greater as far as wins go. I mean, I'm playing a Explore Field of the Dead deck, and you know, and it does what it's supposed to do, but it, you know, it has variants. I'm okay with that because it's a little more fun to play. I'm glad Historic is ranked again. I'm glad it's there. I do play it because right now Standard's kind of, if I want to play Mono Red or Sacrifice, you know, but there's not
There's not going to be a ton of innovation for the next few weeks until until after Aquaria drops. Yeah, two weeks. Actually, yeah, just under two weeks.
10 days. It'll be a week from Thursday.
Yes. So in 10 days, Aquaria drops online. You're going to start to see the new cards in the wild as far as online is concerned, even though the physical release isn't going to be for another month unless you're in Asia.
Right. And it could be longer at this point.
It could very well be longer. So being able to play it online, you know, thank goodness for Arena and Magic Online to be able to play these cards, because I don't know if I could wait till May or June.
So the cube was great. Just another thing to talk about before we get into, like, we got to get into start closing some things up. You know, the Challenger decks are out. They did release. They didn't have a drop date because basically stores were told if you're open and you need to get people in, the minute any product comes in, put it on the shelf. Just go ahead. Go to town. So, the Challenger decks have been out for, you know, in some places a week, not a week, but like since like last Wednesday. You know, in New York State, all of our card shops are closed. So I've kept my eye open at Walmart. I get to Walmart about once every 4 days now. I have to run in and get something. And I do pop myself by and I take a look. It seems like the card companies that restock are finally coming back out of their shell. I did find one tonight, so I grabbed one of the red, because I like them for the students. I want to get the full set for the students. So I'll get the other three at some point. I'll probably get them online, because holy cow, Walmart's $30 and they're $20 online. I'm like, that's just... And you know what? I'd rather throw my money at a game store. So that's one thing too right there, folks. I mean, if you're going to buy things online, TCG Player, anything like that, where you know the money's going to a game store, is helpful. Okay? Because the LGSs are taking it right on the face right now. Same as comic book shops. Don't even get me started on that. Breaks my heart what's going on with comic book stores right now. Diamond is no longer distributing, so the publishers aren't sending any product, which means the stores have nothing new. And so it's just awful. So, you know, I can't wait till the economy gets going again. But be that as it may, they're out. We'll go through those maybe after, you know, we'll find a time to burn them in. You know, we're going to eventually get into Magic 101, and these might be some of the decks we try to use them with. But with that, I want to pivot off of this stuff. I want to talk about the Ikoria League, okay? So... I know we said last week we're gonna announce the pairings this week. However, we hit a snag that I didn't realize. So if you're listening to this, just realize that the Ikoria League is open to anyone in the continental U.S. And I think even Hawaii and Alaska, I think we can get it there. I'm not sure, though. But at the very least, for this one, we'll keep it in the continental United States, okay? Because our fulfilling company, our sponsor, they cannot ship internationally. So I had three or four people email us last week or talk to us through the IM about they want to play. Unfortunately, they're overseas or they're in Mexico or some other country. We can't do that. So I'm not gonna make you guys play. Hopefully you win, and then we're like, haha, you can't have the box. So we're gonna extend it another week. We have 7 right now. I have 6 patrons, and one person did email us. All right, I need to 8 to fire this. I'd rather have 16. This is it, guys. And I am going to put a Facebook ad out. I'm going to open it up to non-listeners because I really want a good event here. If you're a listener of this show and you want a chance to win an Ikoria box for nothing, all you need is an Arena account, then please email us right away. Ask us to, you know, do it. If you don't have an Arena account, I'm even willing to talk to Aramis and maybe we can proxy, like, Aramis or I play for that person. I don't know if we should do that, but, you know, we'll talk about it. If you don't have an Arena account, we could try to figure something out.
Well, the lucky thing is, too, is that if they don't have Arena yet, but they do have a computer that could possibly run it, it is free.
I know some people don't have computers right now, believe it or not. So
I don't know. I'm just saying, if they do, but they don't have Arena, it's entirely possible they have a computer, they just haven't downloaded Arena yet.
Right. So
for whatever reason.
You know, I'm definitely going to say, you know, but we'd really like to have it. So our podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com, it's down at the bottom. It's right there. It's scrolling across the bottom. So podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com. If you're in America, if you have Arena, we want you to play with us. Okay, we really want to do this. It's going to be done. Pairings will be done through Discord, so you'll also need that. Your table will be set up in Discord, so you guys can set up a time to play. And if you join the Discord voice channel together, you guys can talk to each other while you're playing and give each other some crap. The format's going to be best of three, so keep that in mind. You will need sideboards. Okay, but it is. We're excited. And if you tell us when you're playing and Aramis and I can be there, we'll come watch because, damn, that'll be fun. So podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com. This is legit your last week. If I have seven, I will take a position for one of my students at Glenmont and be like, who don't have a computer, and I'm like, I'm playing for this student. Because, you know, we're going to fire this event off next week. So if we can get our one more, great. If not, that's what we'll do. So, because we really want this to go off. So podcast at planestalkerspodcast.com. Tell your friends. All right. Next up, we got to do. We got some business here. We're getting late, but this is okay. As you guys know, we do have a monthly drawing for positive or reviews on iTunes. So we have a nice list of names, and I shall share my screen so that this is, you know, we're above the boards here. So not text on screen, share my screen.
Above the boards, but off the rails.
Hey, you know what? I haven't gone too terribly off the rails today.
Okay. No, but it's a nice little catchphrase.
So, all right. So we're going to share my screen. So this is who we've got this week. All right. I went into iTunes just before the show. And, you know, basically it's Trav Bug, Walter, NXJPCS, Mark WY, Jangdor, Jay Sire, Smitty, Noli Poli, Hanno 928, and the Goose 3M. So what's going to happen is I'm going to run this random name picker. Should I run it once, Aramis, or should I run it like three times?
Just fire it off.
Fire it off once. All right, we're going to fire this off once. Here we go. So good luck, everybody. If you win this, we're going to send you a code for some arena packs. So here it comes. And it's rolling. It's rolling. Walter! My God, this guy wins everything. Wait, where did it go? It was on the screen. Oh, there it is. Okay.
I saw it.
The winner is Walter. And Walter's in the chat. Congratulations, Walter. You're getting some packs. So you are now forbidden from ever winning another one. But at this point, you win the pack. So congratulations, Walter. You've won the packs for this week, for this month. So there is that. We will get you your code, Walter. Shoot, I think the codes are at work.
I have a code. Right.
You have a code?
Although, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find a code here, too. I got codes flying. I might have a code in my box, too. So we'll figure this out. We'll get you the codes. Well, we probably should have thought of that
before. Lucky bastard.
Yeah, we should have thought of that before we did the drawing. Like, you know, make sure we have this shit. So, and there's the explicit tag. Doggnam it. All right. So, wait. Oh, my gosh. Steve Morgan just sent us the email. But, Wendy, you're going to love this. Steve's username, and this is an inside joke for my family, but they'll listen to it later, is Steve. I love it. we passed this auto body place. My wife read it wrong. It was auto body restoration. She thought it said auto body and restaurant. Steve's Auto Body Restaurant. So I immediately am driving, and all of a sudden I made this character up. Just on that, I'm like, my name's Steve. I do auto body repair. I also do restaurant. We'll take care of you and your kids. You can come down here. We'll take the oil out of your car. We're going to cook the fries with it. Because I'm Steve, and that's what I do. And it turned it into, like, you know, but it was also like a little bit of a poor community. I'm like, I'm Steve. This is also a heroin den, but we're also a daycare. So we're an auto body repair shop with a restaurant. And you know what? You can come shoot up, put your kids in our daycare. When you're done with the needles, throw them in the ball crawl. It makes it a little sporting for the rest of us. I'm Steve. That's what I do. I did this for an hour.
Oh my God.
I love it.
Yep, we're off iTunes.
Yeah, we are way off iTunes. So, but Steve, you're in. We have our 8. We're going to give it another week anyway. I really want 16, but. Right now, and here's 16, the thing, we will only do it if we have 16. From here on out, guys, find friends. because I'm not going to do it at 10 or 12 or 14. It's 16 or 8 right now. So if I can get 8 more, we'll fire it off with 16. And again, if we get close, maybe I will play for one of my students because, you know, some of them don't have computers and they're a little, you know, I will do that. But, and I'll keep it honest. I'll make sure Aramis is, you know, Aramis will be the judge of everything. So, but let's get it done. I'd rather have 8 full listeners. So game on for next week. And Walter, congratulations. So we do have one email that came in. You'll never guess who it's from. Walter. Welcome to the Plains Talkers Walter podcast, which we love, by the way, Walter. Please, you know, don't take this. But
Plains yes, Walter?
Plains Walter's podcast.
Plains Walter. Okay. We got to change the banner.
Plains Walter's podcast. All right. Okay. All right. So, but he says, hey, guys, how are you holding up? Seeing the spoilers, and to me, I can't wait for this set to come out. It looks really fun with the Mutate. You probably talked about it already, but what is the card you like the most from the spoilers? Well, we just did because the spoilers came out last Wednesday, so... We've been, you know, we were lucky in that regard. And he was like, also was thinking about the both of you. What is your playing preferences? Is it best of one or BO3? I play BO1, was thinking about BO3 just with the lengthy games and only getting a pip. If I remember correctly, you only get one for winning. Thanks as always, guys, for having a good, and have a good week. I run hot and cold on BO1 and 3. Right now, I'm gold 4. So, yeah, I'm going to play BO3 because I want to go up 2 pips. The problem I've got with BO3 is you don't get one for winning one. Do you understand what I mean? Like, if you play best of three, you either win 2 or lose 2. My personal thought is if you go to a third game, it should be win 2, lose 1. If you got it to a game 3, you know, you still should lose, but you should lose 1. You know, like, let your match and count. It's like the 3 point. Yeah. It's like the 3 versus, you know, 1 point or whatever it is. But...
I agree with you there. You, with the way that best of three works, as long as you're silver or bronze, every win counts as 2 pips. So if you win your match, you get a total of 4 pips. Once you get to gold, every win counts as 1 pip. So if you win a match, you get 2 pips. But if you lose,
it's a loss of 2.
You lose 2. But I think in silver, you don't lose anything.
You do lose
silver.
One. You go down 1.
You lose 1. Yeah, so it's not as harsh to lose best of 3 in silver and bronze. Once you get to gold and platinum and higher, it hurts a lot more. Because if you lose 3 in a row, you've basically just lost like 6 hours.
Like I said, when I was at plat 1, it took me down to gold 2. I'm now at gold 4. And again, yeah. I was screwing around a little bit in historic, and I was trying different decks. And, you know, if I'm playing, I'm going to play in ranked. So...
Yeah, and you have a little more leeway to screw around in best of one because it's a little easier to make up the ground. I don't touch best of one only because if I'm playing Magic and the point is to win, I want to have a sideboard. If I'm playing it for fun, then I'll play an unranked.
Well, I mean, or the only way to play best of one is to play mono red because it is the highest best of one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. The meta is way different, and it's much more dependent on your opening hand. So aggro decks are much, much better. And as a control player, no.
Of course. So,
Which isn't to say I won't play aggro, because I will.
I hope that answers your question. We do not have... I just looked at it this week. I don't believe we had a new review this week. So
No, but we probably have at least a warning.
No, we did not have a new review this week, so... with that, let's, you know, we're a little bit over, so let's just go ahead. All right, so we're going to start rolling up our playmats, putting the cards back in the boxes, running the pizza boxes over to the trash, because damn it, your mother still does not work here. So pick up after yourself. But Aramis and I, while we're doing that, we want to remind you that we do stream Arena on the Plains Talkers Podcast channel on Twitch. Look up Plains Talkers Podcast. We will be doing a Twitch cast this Wednesday. It's our Planeswalker tier cast, actually for the month of March. But it was Walter won last month, so him and Aramis are going to play a draft. That's what they decided, so we're trying to figure it out now. Walter was going to record his draft, Aramis, and I'm like, dude, you don't have to do that. I think you guys could have your draft decks ready and just go to town. We know you got, you know, the best draft. I don't think we have to sit here and be like, did you really draft that today? You know, so these two will figure it out. We're going to do the tech stuff on this. Because I'm not involved, it's harder for me to engineer it, but we'll figure it out. I may try to do something creative So that, but you haven't gone down tonight. I mean, so we were seeing some issues on your end last week. So
I think I squashed.
Okay,
those.
So you can host that. I'm good with that. If you feel up to hosting, we'll have you host. And
yeah, we can. I think I figured it all out. I mean, if we need a backup, maybe we can.
Well, what we do
out,
is we'll cross. We'd use Be Live. Yeah. I'd host like always, and have you share your screen, and then Walter would be on a camera. So
yeah,
we'll work.
Figure it
out. So. Be on the lookout for that. It'll be on the Twitch channel this week. And we will be doing our drawing for our patrons for the month of April. We didn't bill this month, you know, and, you know, if you join now, things are different. But, you know, we'll be doing our poll this week or this month for who's going to do our Play My Deck cast, which is you send us a deck list and we break it and we try to see if there's any way to make it better or worse. Usually better, and then play against a host cast, which I think this month will be me. Those are for our Planeswalker and Mana tiers in our Patreon. So if you want to find out more, go to patreon.com/planestalkers. You know, if you sign up now, we might. Nah, you weren't here April 1st, so yeah. If you sign up before we do the drawing, I don't care. I'll put you in. All right. So what? Don't look at me like that. You had to look. What, did I say something wrong? Am I fired? I'm going home.
Oh, no.
But you can also follow me on Twitch at Mindcrime73.
And if you're on Twitch, you can also follow me at RMECWRX. Like Will said, we will be on Wednesday for the draft broadcast. We'll figure out all the final logistics up until that point. But anytime that I stream individually, it's also going to be simulcast on the Planestalkers podcast channel. So look up the Planestalkers podcast channel or mine, RMECWRX, and you'll find me whenever I'm on. If Twitter is more your speed and you want to see what we're doing on Twitter or if you want to send us a tweet, you can find our show at PlanestalkerPod on Twitter.
And my personal Twitter is at WRBenson. Now, to be honest, I don't tweet that often. I really use it only to follow the ins and outs of the band Winger. I find that their music's amazing, and, you know, I'm such a fan of Kip Winger's hair, man. So, you know, I have to follow them. So, of course, you can always follow us on Facebook as well. Just go to facebook.com. God damn it, I almost had it. Like, I follow Winger. It's like I pulled Kip Winger out of my nose. Oh, God. All right, so go to facebook.com/planestalker, not planestalkers. You take the less ass off and you save it for savings. But you like and follow our page there, and that's where we actually do our broadcast. We are there every Monday. Right now, until the end of this crisis, it's 8 o'clock. Usually we do try to record around 7, but that's where you can catch the show.
Yep. And finally, if you want to send us an email to tell us how we're doing, or if you have an idea to talk about something
or
on the show,
or to sign up for the event...
Or to sign up for the event, which... Awesome. Get hype! You can send us emails and even ask for advice in our Ask Aramis section, where I can offer you tips on anything from deck construction to limited choices. And to send us an email, our address is podcast@planestalkerspodcast.com.
It's on the bottom of your screen right now!
Scrolling, the magic
wow,
of the internet.
It's like so good.
And if you're listening to this, you don't have a screen, that's just weird.
And look, it's my other podcast. Oops. Finally, want to remind you guys that I do host another podcast. It deals with the television show Legends of Tomorrow. It's called Legends of TV Talk, part of the TV Talk family. You can find us on Facebook at Legends TV Talk. And don't forget, we had our drawing tonight. Leave us an iTunes review. Now, here's what it is. Okay, if you don't have an iPhone, Will, how do I do it? Go on your computer. Go on your Mac. If you have a Mac, you have an iPhone. I don't know anybody with a Mac without a phone. Well, actually, I do. People have Android phones. I'm like, really? That?
Benson.
Sorry.
Benson. Rails.
Squirrel! And no, but iTunes reviews, leave us there. You can download it on your computer. Leave us there one. Leave us one there. You know, any number of stars is fine. The more, the better, because it does bring eyes to the show. We are starting to get ranked. I do believe we were at 220-something this week as far as gaming podcasts go. So, which there are thousands. So I'm really, really honored by that. Keep it up. Just leave us a review there. And then every month, what we do is if you haven't won, you have the option to win, and we'll give you a free arena card. So we'll do just what we did. So at the end of every month. And again, that's an iTunes review. But with that, we're going to start to back ourselves out of here. We will be back on the air next Monday night, right around 8 o'clock, with more spoilers. We'll have some updates. We'll start the... we'll maybe have a big bracket event right here. So you're going to want to tune in. So come back next Monday night. But for Aramis Perez, this is Will Benson saying thank you very much for being listeners of the show. We will talk to you guys next week, and we want to remind you to always remember to leave some of your mana untapped, because you never know when you'll need it. Take care, and have a great week.